I think everyone in here wants joy. I think the answer is because in our practical street-level Christian living of our everyday lives, where we experience suffering and pain, we really struggle to see how joy can be truly experienced in the midst of sorrow, pain, and anguish. And we have begun at times to believe that if we're really going to experience true joy, it must be at the removal of sorrow, pain, and anguish. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus is going to teach the disciples a really important theological shift that's going to take place in light of the resurrection. It'll help us see how we can approach the Father regarding these things. And we need to understand that. But because the aim of verse 24 is that our joy would be full, but it's also going to teach us another thing, and that is this. What's the source of joy? What's the source of joy? We need to know how we need to approach the Father if we're going to have this joy that's set before us. But we need to understand, importantly, too, what's the source of joy? And to help us think about that, I'm going to go back to the illustration again and just drive the point home one more time for you. In the illustration Jesus gave, the woman was in the midst of sorrow, true physical pain, and then her sorrow turned into joy. And it wasn't because the sorrow was removed. It was swallowed up in the joy of the baby. In Jesus teaching us how to come to the Father after the resurrection, He's going to be teaching us the source of joy. And let me tell you this, the source of joy is not the removal of pain, sorrow, and anguish. In this life, you're guaranteed constant pain, sorrow, and anguish. Yet here Jesus holds out before us eternal joy and fullness thereof. I think most of us are getting this wrong, and I'll help you to diagnose if you're like me often. Regarding your pain, sorrow, and anguish, how do you pray about that? If you're like me, most of my prayers regarding my pain, sorrow, and anguish are, God, I want to have joy, so I need you to remove the pain, the sorrow, the anguish, or the source of it. And I spend a lot of my prayer time there. I want to be careful here. I'm not implying it's wrong to pray for healing or for God to remove those things. I'm not implying that at all. But I think it's really important that we see, as we look through the lens of Scripture, the normative means through which God brings joy to us is not the removal of pain, sorrow, and anguish. It's by giving us joy in the midst of pain, sorrow, and anguish, by giving us Jesus. Saints, there's something more, better than the removal of pain. It's Jesus in the midst of pain. And we really struggle to see that, to believe that, because the pain is real. But I want you to know this, Jesus is more real. God gets glory by removing pain and sorrow. He gets glory by healing, but I want you to know this. God gets even more glory when He swallows up pain with joy. I mean, tell me what looks better from a world's perspective. To see someone who circumstantially has no basis for joy and is in full pain, yet they're unexplainably rejoicing. That gives God glory. You know what else it forces the world to do? It forces the world to come to you and say, hey, what is the source of the hope that is within you? Because they can't see the circumstance. In fact, they see a circumstance that should lead to grumbling and complaining and whining, yet they're seeing joy. And when they ask you that, you get to stand up and you get to say this: Jesus Christ is the source of my joy in the midst of my sorrow and pain. Saints, God looks good in that scenario.
This excerpt was taken from the full sermon, Sorrow Turned into Joy,